All right, everybody, let's get started. This is Dave Vellante. Welcome to the Peer Insight reviewing EMC's VF Cache. You can watch live on, as we were just talking, siliconangle.tv, or you can go to the Wikibon blog. There's a widget there. It is on a delay, so if you're going to watch live, you're going to have to turn down your phone. So welcome, everybody. Thanks very much for attending today. If you didn't see the announcement on the Wikibon blog, we have a very exciting news that John MacArthur, old friend and colleague from my IDC days and many years afterwards, is joining the Peer Insight team. John is going to be moderating the Peer Insights. So, John, welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
And we're joined today by Noemi Gresdorf, a Wikibon contributor. Noemi, thanks very much for coming on. You're with Cambridge Computer, an expert in many fields, and appreciate you bringing the practitioner's perspective.
Thanks.
So I am going to turn it over to John. John, why don't you set up the call, and we'll get into it.
Well, as David said, we're going to be discussing what was pre-announced as Project Lightning, and which EMC announced as VF Cache. David Floyer was on site in San Francisco for the announcement. And so what we'd like to do here is have him discuss what he saw. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that the call is being recorded. For those of you who are tweeting, please use the hashtag for Wikibon, W-I-K-I-B-O-N. And as we do have Noemi Gresdorf from Cambridge Computer here. David Floyer is on the phone. So Dave, since you are at the announcement, why don't you give us a quick summary of what you saw, what you heard, and your initial impressions.
Thanks very much. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah. It
was a great announcement in San Francisco, and the key announcements were two of them. There was Project Light, which is now being called, as you said, VF Cache, and Project...
Hey, can I ask folks to please mute their lines if they're not speaking? So that would be everybody but David Floyer. Appreciate you muting your lines so I don't have to go through and mute it for you. And David, make sure your computer is muted.
Yeah, computer is.
Great. Carry on.
So there was the VF Cache and there was Project Thunder. So let's just talk about VF Cache first. That is a Micron or LSI flash card, PCIe card. So this is the first venture of EMC into the server side of storage. And it's a cache. So IOs are put into the cache on a first-in, first-out basis, and they revolve around the cache and they're kept there. And there's a piece of software, a auto driver from EMC, which decides what gets put into the cache. So this speeds up IOs. The writes aren't speeded up, but the writes can be written to the cache if they're not sequential or large blocks. And those are then available for rereading from that cache. So it's a capability of improving IO response time for reads in particular and for generating a much larger number of subsystem.
All right, David, there are a number of different use cases I think that you've identified. Can you just talk a little bit about the use cases that you see for this today in its current instantiation?
The best use cases for VF cache are for simple caching situations. So read-intense workloads. Things above 50% read, for example, probably Exchange wouldn't be a best candidate for this, but for transaction processing would be a lot of good candidates for that. A small I/O size, 64 KB is the largest that will be allowed into the flash cache.
Is that a limitation of the card, or is that just a best practice?
Well, it's the limitation of the card. It actually doesn't allow anything bigger than 64 KB in it. That's to avoid sequential processing, overloading the cache. So, but in general, small I/O size would be the right the use case anyway.
So this is a database kind of application then, for the most part.
Transaction processing database applications again would be the best fit. A random I/O, obviously, random I/O is a better fit and more from transaction processing. Sequential I/O would not get much particular benefit as the probability of rereading is usually much lower. Good locality of reference. In other words, does it have a small working set of data which can be cached efficiently? There is in VF cache a split cache, which means that you can put a particular volume in that cache.
Can the participants please, if they're not speaking on the call, please mute your lines?
If you don't have a mute, star 6 will mute your line, please.
I wouldn't recommend that at the moment because you're on your own for recovery. There aren't any in a single system, and if the system goes down, then you'll have to recover that on your own.
Okay, so if you're using split cache and you write and you have an entire volume in the split cache, it's not protected. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. I'm sure that'll come in the future, but that's the situation.
David, is Josh. You mentioned a software that managing. Where is this software sitting? On the storage control unit or on the server?
The storage, the filter driver is sitting on the server. It's in the operating system itself. And that comes on to the next point. In VMware, the filter driver cache is in the VM guest and not in the hypervisor. I'm sure that will come in the future, but that means that even though there's a vCenter plugin for management, it won't be, its use in VM motion will require scripting and to remove or restore or add storage, and it's not yet ready for prime time with VMware.
If it is sitting on a server, and the storage is connected by iSCSI or fiber channel, whatever, it means in fact that you can connect any storage. It's not limiting to EMC storage, external storage to connect.
Right. Absolutely correct, and they have said that very clearly, that this is useful for all storage, and there's no connection at the moment between FAST as a management and the VF cache. That's a future improvement that will come, and it will still work. Even the FAST improvements are just hinting that's the main one, hinting for VF cache, and that will still work without that hinting.
So in fact, it is third level cache of a server, which has very little to do with storage.
Well, I think it's important. Well, we'll come to that in a second. There's just one more use case I want to talk about, and then we can talk about the general use. The other thing that it's not suitable for is a clustered environment. There's no support for clustering. The reason for that is that it's tied to that specific server, and there is no cache coherency between that. The solution for a clustered environment is going to be part of Project Thunder, and we can talk about that going forward. But going back to Josh's issue, and that's a nice lead up to what this means and the importance of it, they've started with the server side. There is a split cache. cache, so you can put volumes there, you can have storage there. And this is a very clear indication of a trend from many, many startups. There's Viridian, there's Versato, there's just a whole LSI, Warp Drive, Micron, Samsung, many, many players in this marketplace who have cards, PCIe cards, that will fit into the server and provide this type of service. So this is acknowledgement from an EMC, and for me, the most profound statement made by Pat Gelsinger at the announcement was the fact that he said that the high-speed drive, the high-speed fiber channel and high-speed SAS drives, their days were numbered. In other words, most of active data, all of active data, was going to be in flash over the next 5 years. And that means that EMC and every other server vendor has to compete with storage on the server, as well as Project Thunder, as well as providing clusters.
David, I read that comment as well, that he said high performance drives could be dead in the future. I didn't hear the 5 years. I'm curious on people's perspective on a couple of things going again, could the people on the line mute their phones? They're not speaking. There's some noise in the background. The question really being, how much can we get behind that statement? Do we believe that fast drives are spin drives are dead? Remember, you're out there with customers all the time. I'm curious.
Is around more of a read type of workload. In terms of the write-intensive workloads, you're still seeing demand for higher speed drives, more of the HDD side, although there's a number of solutions that are coming in the market that are claiming that they can not only accelerate writes, as well as they can accelerate reads on the SSD drives, but they can do it in a very capacity and cost efficient way. I believe that's still to be proven.
Yeah. I guess the other question really is,
I mean, it doesn't have to be proven. In sequential operation, you read sequential into the cache, and it will be always faster than flash. And you read very long blocks ahead of time. But the thing is that, if I remember well, something like 2007, Tucci said that there will be no revolving disk in year 2010. And we are already 2012.
I don't remember that statement. I remember they announced in 2008 that when they started introducing solid-state drives into their arrays. But I don't remember that statement, Josh.
I do believe, though, that if you look at the performance characteristics of various types of drives, that the 15,000 RPM drive is definitely going away. We can see that already in terms of the systems that are being deployed. Leveraging SSDs has enabled organizations to do away with 15K drives and just go with either 7200 SAS, which are beginning to get adopted, or 10,000 RPM drives. Just the difference in performance uptick and the capacity sort of trade-offs you get from 10K to 15K just don't seem to warrant it, especially if you offset that with SSD. So in that regard, the market is definitely moving away from the 15K. I'm not sure about the 10K in a five-year horizon. Is
very really rapid. Can we make enough?
Actually, this is Barry Burke.
Hey, Barry.
I would disagree with that assertion.
Fact, which one?
The one that 15Ks are going away and the world's going to 10K and 7200. In a tiered storage environment, it turns out that the delta of performance between 10K and 15K is big enough that you can't get sufficient performance out of your middle tier with just 10K drives, and you really need to have a 15K spindle to kind of handle what you can't afford to put into flash. And in fact, if anything's going away, I believe it's the 10K. And we'll see 15Ks last longer just because of the performance profile, and we'll have 15K and SATA for a long time before there are no drives.
And then Floyd, you've predicted that the price of flash will come down at some point close enough to 15K fiber channel or SAS to kill it. Are you still on that prediction?
Absolutely. And if you take today's environment, there are some still use cases where the high-speed drives are useful. And the early implementations of FAST, for example, by EMC have shown that very clearly, that you need to have sufficient 15K drives and balance the flash. If you project forward, though, just one or two turns of the crank on flash, the ability of the flash to be written to and then to, as a second stage, to pass that down to high capacity drives will be the way that large block files will be, or sequential processing will be handled. And particularly for things like log files. And the key reason for this movement down will be the fact that applications will run much better, much, much better. Locking will be reduced significantly if you can acknowledge the write as quickly as possible onto a flash medium. Within 5 years means that doesn't mean that all 15K drives, there will be no 15K drives sold, because we all know that migration takes a long time.
There's an irony here, and everybody on the line that I wanted to address. Maybe hit the escape key for a minute. And this is the following: that for the past 15 years, we've seen storage function move out, even 20 years, out of the host.
Right.
Toward the SAN array, so the disk array, and then it merged into SAN. And EMC was the big reason for that, you know. But so things like snapshots and replication and data management techniques going into the SAN. And as you referenced, John, in 2008, EMC announced what we call the haymaker, and surprised everybody with the enterprise flash drives inside the array. Fusion IO was just coming out of stealth, ironically, at the same time. And now we're seeing certain functions move back toward the host, the pendulum swinging. And I'm interested in what people's thoughts are on that and what it means to practitioners in terms of how they architect systems and storage.
What we're seeing in the marketplace, actually, the adoption of virtualization, in particular VMware, who is the market leader currently, but in general, the adoption of virtualization has created an opportunity for deploying data management functionality in layers that makes most sense for that particular environment. So you're no longer tied to doing it in the storage array controller. You can do it in the network, you can do it in the host, you can do it in the hypervisor, which definitely gives you a lot more options. And the movement of, you know, additionally caching in a host and elevating awareness of this with the VF cache announcement, they think that's sort of validation. I don't think that all the functionality is going to sort of, the pendulum is going to swing back to all the functionality going to the host, but I do think that what we are seeing already is that folks are making decisions where that functionality should live based on their own specific requirements and having the options that were brought on in a lot of cases by virtualization is enabling them to do that.
I get that, but I also see that we've had dramatic improvement in processor speed. We have not had dramatic improvement in storage speed, and so we do sort of unnatural acts to improve speed. You know, and the other thing that's happened is this price decline on memory, so that now we can do things that frankly, just weren't affordable. If you think disk drives were unaffordable or expensive, you know, when I left the user side in 95, memory was a heck of a lot more expensive.
So. Disk prices are going up for at least a period of time.
Yeah, a little period.
So what do people think about this? Maybe we should open it up
to the community,
to the audience a little bit, just get people's opinions.
One question. Is this only going to be available in a PCIe form factor, therefore not available in Blaze servers?
Yes, so the initial, could you just give us your first name?
Yeah, David Zart.
Oh, hey, David. So the first implementation is a PCIe card. It's not supporting Blaze servers. So, and of course, I don't know what the plans are down the road. David, do you have any insight on that?
This is where Project Thunder comes in. As a much better way of dealing with the Blade type of environment. So Project Thunder is a collection of appliances, each of which has a CPU with a number of PCIe cards, basically. So and these are cache coherent and provide a layer, if you like, below the CPU and provide
below the PCIe card in a server.
Yeah, well, if you have a Blade server, then this would these would be connected directly via InfiniBand or even RDMA.
I read InfiniBand like. So.
This is Abhishek from EMC.
Abhishek.
So just to add to that, so the explanation for Project Thunder that was given is one of the use cases, obviously. But in the meantime, we are also looking at different options to provide support for Blade servers using the current VF cache offering.
Okay. So
that's something we are looking at, definitely, yes.
Nothing we're announcing today, but something down the road. Okay.
Yes. And I'm not sure if we addressed this, but I just got a direct message from somebody saying EMC VF cache 64K limit, this is something we were talking about earlier, is the driver, not the card. I can't remember if we
sort of... Not a card limit, it's a driver. The filter driver has a 64K limit, and that's, you had said that's to make sure, or David had said that's to make sure that you don't overwhelm the card with...
No? I don't think it's tied to the card at all. This is Barry again. The limit is because the vast majority of large block read data tends to either a single-shot sequential read for the purposes of backup or loading an application into memory, and very rarely does that data ever get reused through all of our millions and millions of IOP traces.
Right.
We recognize that, so that's why the driver does that.
Yeah, and actually that was one of the things that sort of went into some of EMC's claims here, is that they've analyzed a lot of workloads, and so their ability to make recommendations based on the workload profile of the customer, you know, I think they've got a good competitive differentiator there.
There are a lot of ways to reach us for questions. Obviously, you can chime in online. If you want to tweet us, I'm at DVellante or at Wikibon. We're watching the stream. But, again, any other thoughts from the community? It's a good time now. We'll just sort of take a quick breath and see if people have some comments that they want to make or questions that they want to ask.
Yeah, hi, this is Alex Williams of Services Angle, and I'm curious about the services aspect to this story around VF cache. It seems like there will be a major services component required with this, and it seems to point to kind of a differentiation between EMC's approach and Fusion.io's approach. And I'm just curious about, you know, your guys' take on that.
Would you say a services approach, let's make sure the same thing.
The requirements of, you know, the services integration, the need for consulting to some degree,
sure.
What is the, you know, will this increase the need for services? How much help will customers really need?
Right. So Dave Vellante was talking about customers have a lot more options now. And I'm not sure that customers are necessarily looking for a lot more options, but if you do have a lot more options, they're looking for better performance, I get that. But if you have a lot more options, you better have an awfully strong consultative services practice, because let's say a customer comes to you and says, you know, I'm having performance issues with my Oracle database. I'm thinking you got 6 or 7 or 8 different options to try to address that performance problem.
Well, you know, on the wiki, right on the front page, in the middle of the page, under professional alerts, you'll see under register now, there's a big orange register now button. This is on wikibon.org. Under professional alerts, the very first professional alert, it's called Wikibon Peer Insight on EMC Projects Lightning and Thunder. And in there, David Floyer has this just lovely set of charts, sort of laying out his vision of the architecture of the future, real-time big data processing, and the different layers and where Flash generally and VF Cache and Thunder specifically fit. And it seems to me, David, that that has services implications to Alex's question in terms of the processes and the procedures that I have established, maybe even certain application development trends in terms of writing directly to new layers of Flash. I wonder if you could comment on that a little bit.
Yes, that's. I think there's a very profound change coming, and I think the best way of expressing that is that we're entering an IO-centric era. We will be able to afford very, very large numbers of IOs, which previously were orders of magnitude too expensive. And the solution to reducing the number of IOs was to block everything up and do everything in as big a block as you could. In an IO-centric environment, you'll be able to take very large streams of data coming in from many, many different sources and be able to do the transaction processing and at the same time sort out the data and the metadata and the indexes in a parallel type process. And that's a very different way of looking at it, and from a services angle, that's going to mean a great deal of help in helping organizations restructure their whole thinking about big data and how to do analytics, and doing it top-down as opposed to doing the transaction processing and then having the data on disk and then trying to get it back again. So that's one area. In terms of the options open, this is a very exciting time. There are a lot of different startups with a lot of different products. People mentioned Fusion.io recently. One of the most really interesting evolutions has been the introduction of atomic writes, the ability to write directly to the flash from the processor, and that's a game changer in terms of the number of IOs that can be written and the speed that can be written to the flash. So there are techniques of that sort which are changing. There are many flash only vendors out there. There's SolidFire and Pure and Nimble and Nimbus and many more, and many, many hybrid solutions as well. So there's a host of new ideas coming out, and they're emphasizing a top-down view of the management of storage as opposed to the previous storage array up view of managing it. So yes, I think there is a tremendous role for services to play to be able to cut through the claims and counterclaims and make sensible, practical decisions on what type of workloads will fit what type of solution in the best way.
David, if I may, this is Barry. Just two
hey, Barry.
Things, yeah, I'd like to call out. One is the original question, that the VF Cash Card doesn't require any services to purchase, install, or use. The services are available. So like you can just buy the card, stick in your server, and run. And there's no prerequisite. And the second point I want to make is that the average read response time out of Flash on these PCI cards is relatively low, on the order of a quarter of a millisecond or so, maybe even a little bit less than that. This is about the average response time of a large cache disk array for a write to cache. So whether it be EMC, you know, VMAX, VNX, Hitachi, whatever, write to cache is also about a quarter of a millisecond. So in terms of writing to flash at flash speeds, a quarter of a millisecond is far faster than you can write to any flash today. I think there's a little bit of direction being put out there by this direct-to-flash thing being so fast.
Well, we can gently disagree on that one. I think the atomic writes to flash can go much, much faster than milliseconds. You're talking about microseconds and a few of them as well. So,
David, I did say microseconds.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I know what flash speeds are for a frame of flash. You know they're not that fast.
The writes to flash are still much, much faster than going through the I/O stack and out again. So the opportunity.
And IBM will disagree.
Well, the marketplace will decide.
I think one of the things that is definitely going on in the innovation community with all the new vendors coming out, and there are technologies not only in the all-flash array systems that were cached, appliances, software that facilitates caching in the host. I think across all of these innovative newer players in the marketplace, what is happening is that they're really working to design how data is placed on media with flash in mind. So they're taking the technology and leveraging it in ways that our disk drives have never been able to be leveraged. And they're coming up with some really interesting paradigms that enable them to get more capacity, whether it's through, I don't want to call it deduplication or compression. There's newer kind of techniques, how they do rate protection, even how they do just general data placement. All of that is still in the early stages of development, and as that continues, I think there will sort of some very specific standards will evolve that will be to the benefit of the general community and the general marketplace that applications will be able to take advantage of. I mean, on the application level, though, we're still looking at things that administrators and application developers have to make changes to their environment in terms of knowing that they are working, let's say, with flash technology that does have less latency, fast response time, can handle thousands of IOs more than a traditional hard disk drive, and making sure that the application is aware of that so it can take advantage of that as well. All of that is going to sort of optimize the general performance squeeze out of these drives as well as capacity, things that we don't even think about right now.
When we start talking about application rewrite, and I think about legacy applications, I start to get a little nervous. So I'm curious as to, relative to flash adoption, where do you see it coming first? Do you see it in the new apps coming out, or do you see it in legacy apps?
The rewrites will be in the file systems and the database systems to take advantage of it. That'll be the vast majority of the rewrite. And that then will unleash capabilities, which will mean that applications will change over time to be able to take advantage of those.
So we talk in quarters, years?
Oh, yes. I mean, the technologies will start to be available in 2012, and you're on a decade-long movement to get to an IO-centric environment. Applications take a long time to change and to test, and the whole philosophy will take a long time to change within organizations. So these things take time. But having said that, there is a huge opportunity for people who take advantage of this quickly to make game-changing alterations to the efficiencies of their organization and their ability to provide new services. So we're already seeing that the large social media companies, the cloud providers, are embracing this and finding new ways of doing things. So the Apples and the Facebooks of the world,
right.
they are
newer applications in the sort of traditional databases. Right.
So maybe we could reset
that
there.
Right.
For those maybe just joining, we're talking about EMC's VF cache announcement, really reach-side cache, EMC's first entrance into the closer to the server stack, right? We've been talking about that today. You know, initially a recache over time, Project Thunder getting into a more shareable sort of network-oriented approach. So we've got David Floyer on the line, myself, Dave Vellante, John MacArthur, Noemi Gresdorf, and many hundreds of people on the call and watching on video. So, John,
yeah.
Back to you.
Well, let's do that again and go back to the listeners and see what questions or comments they have. And you know, I think EMC's talked about several hundred implementers already. If we have any customers that are using VF Cache today, love to hear from them as well.
I have a question. I'm not a customer that's implemented, but I have a question if there are no other questions.
Great. Go ahead. Your name?
My name is Tim Sammers. The question is, when will VF Cache and other systems like it, will they ever get integrated with the operating system? Because the operating system is doing its own caching. Now VF Cache is doing caching. And then back at the array, you've got caching happening at the array. So you've got three different caching engines. When, if ever, will they be tied together so they know what each other is doing?
I think that's the idea behind you know, the vision of VF Cache, is that you have the integration with the back-end array so that you can make smarter decisions about what is being cached in the server versus what may or may not be cached at the array level so that the resources can be more intelligently allocated to applications.
Is VF Cache aware of what the array is doing? Because
yeah.
I don't think it is it?
At the moment, it's not.
But I think it's an excellent question because it brings in the issue of where the locus of control for that caching should be. Should it be at the array level, storage array level, or should it be at the file system or database level? And I think with a clustered support over a number of those systems. And I think over time, the changes are going to be made to the file systems and the database systems to be able to more efficiently cache the data, being aware of the flash layer. And those are changes, again, which are going to take some time to take advantage. So today, VF Cache is just a simple solution, and there will be some overlap on the caches, but it'll still be improved performance. But over time, it'll become more efficient as it can be integrated into the operating system. And my personal belief is that those changes in the operating system and the database and the file systems are going to be very important going forward.
Well, you know, yeah. Dave, we've probably got a number of different representatives from different factions of that stack that would like to debate where the point of control should be, you know. So that's an interesting question and you know, one that we'll be following here.
This is Barry again. Can I comment?
Yeah, please.
I don't know that there needs to be a debate about where the control is, but I think we should all understand that while probably in the future we'll see things like the databases and file systems going to take advantage more of flash as kind of a metadata or whatever locale reference they need to, that really what we're trying to do here is to accelerate the utility and value of this new technology, flash, to a broader set of applications that don't have to be rewritten to take advantage of it. And that's really what the VF cache model does. It's what putting flash in the storage arrays do. It's what putting, you know, caching devices in the network or an all-flash array is all about supporting today's applications and giving them performance benefits without the rewrites that will inevitably happen over time. So I think they're very complementary, and we're just space.
I couldn't agree more. That's very well said, Barry. There's two forces. There's the forces of today's applications, and they need support and they need help. And BF Cash is one of many, but a very good entry into the field to help in that place. So the discussion on the broader aspect is saying where that ultimately where that locus of control should be, and that, as I said, that'll take a decade for that to move, in the same way that it took a decade for the migration to move originally out to the storage controllers.
I think one of the things that we should probably bring into this conversation outside of the technology itself is the concept of cost that does play a significant role in how the applications are able to take advantage of flash SSD technology. How an end user who is trying to accelerate the performance of their existing applications without having to rewrite them can best get the best bang for their buck. And I think that in terms of implementations, there are certain places where you get better performance benefits. You may be trading them for maybe lower reliability or less functionality. There are other implementations where you might have more redundancy, but at a much higher cost. So I think cost is a very important aspect of any discussion associated with the adoption of flash SSD, host, network, or array.
Dennis Martin here. I wanted to make a couple comments.
Yep. Go ahead, Dennis.
So on the question about integrating cache into the OS, I think that's a great question, and there's two ways this can go, and these are not mutually exclusive. I think as we get more and more flash or flash-like technologies become more common and the prices continue to drop, I think it'll be a natural for the OSs to begin to start thinking, well, if this is always here, maybe we can exploit it. Coming from the storage side, like in the case of EMC, you've got flash that can ultimately be coordinated with the caches that are in the storage system. So you've got this, you can sort of draw a line all the way through from the OS through this caching layer, wherever it happens to be in on the server side, into the caching, into the storage side. And who knows, maybe one day we'll get to where it used to be on the mainframe, where the OS is aware of cache in the subsystem. So there's all kinds of ways this could go, and I think it's all positive. Secondly, on the comments about performance and all that, obviously we're big promoters of flash. We're involved with obviously some stuff with the VF cache, and we're doing a lot of other things with SSDs in general. We do like the performance we see on PCIe cards that do flash. We also have measured performance to caches in the storage subsystems using Fibre Channel or SAS or even 10 gigabytes SCSI, and we're seeing less than 100 microseconds to writing to a cache in the storage subsystem. So there's a lot of speed out there, and I don't think you can argue that flash is faster. Certainly a lot of storage systems have a lot of good speed, but I think it all works well together, and so I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and kind of situation.
What about the latency issue? Can you make some comparisons between Fusion IO and and the VF cache in terms of latency? Fusion IO, says that the latency is the issue more than anything else. I'm curious to take that.
Latencies are good in both. You can look at our performance paper, and there's a comparison with VF cache and Fusion IO. So I'd say take a look at that.
For next generation cloud apps, would you say that your latency is on par with Fusion IO?
You mean for a VF cache thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For VF cache, yes. I mean, it's going through the very low latencies that Fusion IO are driving towards are using the VSL software and the atomic writes, and those are not yet as a full product yet. So those are experimental things. There are a lot of cards out there and a lot of differences between the cards. using it, the card, and the major use of Fusion IO is for people like Facebook is putting the whole of the database there, or the vast majority of the database there, and that changes things a lot because you then don't have any of the long the very long elapsed time. You know, the average latency is one thing, but you get the outliers with up hundreds of milliseconds that you can get once in a while, which can really affect performance in a big way. So, you know, there are a lot of low latency implementations of Flash in general that are in the marketplace and are being used. And you know, caching is one solution to the general problem of, as Naomi said, of speeding things up. It depends on the business value of the application and the requirement for IOPS as opposed to bandwidth. And I think the biggest change of Flash is not necessarily that it performs much better or latency is much better, et cetera. It's just the simple number of IOs that can be done. Beforehand, doing IOs was very, very expensive. And with Flash, you can increase the number of IOs by orders of magnitude for the same cost. And that's a very, very application design, a very big impact on application design, and brings into play new applications which just couldn't be afforded, going back to Naomi's point, just could not be afforded before.
Yeah, we're looking at different metrics in that regard. Most people, when they think of storage, they think of price per gigabyte. You know, and that's a very reasonable thing to keep in mind. We're looking at two other metrics with Flash: dollars per IOPS or price per IOPS, and IOPS per watt. And when you look at those metrics, just like David said, it's astronomically bigger than what you get with hard drive. So there's lots of different ways to skin this cat with lots of different types of SSDs. And we're finding even that in some cases you can do better for some applications by not using a PCIe card, by using a lot of SSD not very far away with a high-speed pipe in there, because then you don't have to split your database up to fit onto the PCIe card. So there's a lot of opportunity here and a lot of good stuff happening.
What was that? Was that last metric that you mentioned, Dennis?
So there are three that we're looking at, price per capacity or dollars per gigabyte.
Right.
Second one is price per IOPS.
Got that.
And the third one is IOPS per watt. Of electric power use.
Right.
And you get a lot more, of course, for Flash products in those last two categories.
I would actually add a third one. This is the one that I think is important when Flash is actually used as a primary capacity, not as just cache, but, you know, for storing data. And that is price per I.O. per gigabyte.
I.O. per gigabyte, yes. Yeah.
Because when you're buying performance, let's say you have a certain set of IOPS that you need for your application, but you also have to deal with the size of the data set and certain form factors for SSD may be too small to hold the whole data set. So you either have to then work with tiering, which works in some cases, not in others, efficiently, or you then have to look at a different form factor and consider different densities. SLC has lower densities than MLC but have higher reliability. I mean, there's a lot of considerations when you're talking about it. So price per I.O. per gigabyte is another metric I think that is important for end users to consider, and they do.
Yeah, in a recent posting that I put up on Wikibon called a real-time IO-centric processing for big data. I've got a comparison of the costs in Table 3 between the dollar per rack and obviously Flash is about 22 times more expensive than that. But then if you look at the dollar per MIOP, I've called it, there's about 2,500 times difference, and the dollar per terabyte, it's much cheaper for disk. and then MIOPS per terabyte. Again, it's much, much cheaper for flash. So, you know, different use cases for flash and storage, and different metrics that we have to use in the future for evaluating storage systems.
Okay, in the few minutes that we've got left, let's open it up again to the community and see if we have any other questions people want to chime in with.
Please start. I have a question. As far as some of the key milestones, when will the, any idea when the Project Thunder would be available, so this technology would be available in other than just rack mount servers, and also the milestone of when the integration with fast technologies, so the BF cache will be aware of the cache back in the EMC array.
At the announcement, they indicated they'd be starting working with customers on Project Thunder in the second quarter, and that all of the things that they talked about would be available within 12 months. So I would expect that, and EMC have a very good track record of meeting these types of projections. So I would expect that there will be a steady drumbeat of announcements over the year, filling in pieces. For example, I'm sure that they'll fill in the piece by having some sort of solution with the VF cache in the hypervisor. That will come as a solution for VMware, and there'll be a significant movement towards a general availability of the Thunder within the next 12 months.
And Lightning was in customer hands pre-release for a good 7-8 months at least?
It was in late last summer, I believe, and Oracle Open World. Gelsinger and Chad Sakic announced they were beta.
They were in beta, so they were in alpha before that, yeah.
So, I would expect maybe something at VMworld this summer, some kind of announcement.
Just a quick addition to it, this is Abhishek. Don't associate support for VF cache in Blade servers with Project Thunder. As I said earlier, that is one of the use cases for Thunder. But going forward, we are looking at other options to start supporting Blade servers earlier than availability of Project Thunder.
Oh, before that. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very helpful. Any other questions?
And there was one more comment about support on hypervisor.
Yeah.
So today we do support VF cache in VMware environments. And obviously we are looking to add more functionalities as we go on. But yes, today we do support it on 4.1 and 5.0 VMware environments.
But the support is at the guest level, not that leads to issues in terms of supporting VMware capabilities such as vMotion. Yeah.
Understood. And that's what I was saying. More functionalities will be added in due course. But
Obviously script your way around that, and you're going to, I'm sure, make it more automated over time. But that's good clarification.
Other questions? Any other comments? It's kind of interesting as we sit and have this conversation because I remember somewhere around 1992 or so, although IBM was shipping system managed, was talking about system managed storage, there was a concept of Symmetrics managed storage, which means if we just give you fast enough performance, your database administrators don't have to spend a lot of time worrying about data placement, and so we were able to sort of wrest control of data placement and free up a ton of capacity by just guaranteeing service levels. So I think the fast integration that's coming is going to be critical to being able to deliver functionality where you don't have to sort of micromanage it. And I know Barry made a comment about ease of implementation. One of the things that I always think about when we're implementing new technologies into existing operating environments, you know, what does that process look like? And I don't know if there's anyone on the phone that can speak to that, but we've got to take the application down, or what do we need to do to be able to take advantage of the FPGA?
The other interesting angle here, and I wonder if anybody has a comment, is the whole investment climate. There's a lot of action going on out there, and I don't know if
Dave, John.
Hi, John.
I'm calling in from Palo Alto, SiliconANGLE, and I was at the event, and it was interesting to see the EMC standing tall and kind of they didn't really speak directly about Fusion.io, but you know, David Flynn did issue a statement. So I thought that Fusion.io dynamic was really interesting at the launch. There was references in the EMC launch event in San Francisco around a slew of startups and other activities. And so obviously it's very frothy right now in solid state. Anything with solid state is going to get instant funding. But what's happened is with SolidFire and others really emerging, there's been a barrier to entry on the product side. So we're seeing a lot more product development on the mature funded companies. So what I'm seeing is the main dynamic is you got some leaders out there already, Fusion and SolidFire, among others in the solid state area. And all the new startups are trying to take a different approach on the architecture. But all admittingly, privately, and I'm hearing from multiple sources here in Silicon Valley, that most of those startups are successful entrepreneurs doing another one in the storage area. And they're doing parallel paths. They're also looking for venture capital while essentially selling their deal, looking to sell it. So we're seeing a lot of different dynamics that are going on. And that tells me specifically that the go-to-market path is not as clean as it was about a year ago. So that's kind of my report from the field in the sense of what I'm seeing on the startups. So seasoned entrepreneur coming back in, viable technology, there's funding. There's also these parallel paths going on, shopping their deal around too.
So is VF Cash that good confirmation for these guys, or is that look out?
Well, I think it's like, you know, there's a lot of speculation that, hey, EMC is going to need to step up and buy a company. They could have bought Fusion when they were younger. You know, they could have. Now it's kind of a little bit late. Maybe it's not too late in the public offering. But, you know, I think a lot of people see EMC as a primary target to acquire white space in this area. So there's a lot of go-to-market and accelerated timetables on the product side. If it doesn't material itself in the marketplace, the M&A growth is going to be significant for the big guys, and not only EMC, but others who need solutions. So I think a lot of startups are kind of pimping themselves up to say, hey, we're a viable approach. We have an alternative. We have a different angle on it, cloud, mobile, social, new user expectations and applications, and position themselves that way. But also looking to be bought. So I think EMC's race in here is a testament to the marketplace. Pat Gelsinger and the team are rolled up their sleeves and they're you know, got thunder right behind it. So EMC's not just mailing this in. So clearly that's a statement that, you know, there might not be enough seats at the table.
I think that one of the interesting things about this market is that I don't believe that there is a clear leader. I think that there's a lot of companies, startups and young companies in general, who have been making a lot of noise and have very well-recognized brands, but have not yet delivered the product, which kind of reminds me a little bit of the dot-com era where people were going public without actually having customers. But besides the point, I don't believe that there is a clear market leader. I also don't believe that there is a clear preference or has been defined sort of, is it going to be in the array, is it going to be in the network, is it going to be in the host, or is there going to be some sort of a combination of many of these depending on the situation. From a big sort of vendor perspective, I think that jumping in is validation for the technology for sure. I don't think it obviates the fact that as these newer players come to market and start sort of executing, that the bigger guys are going to sit and wait and see who's going to execute well, who's going to come out sort of on top, and those are the ones who are eventually going to get probably bought. That's kind of what we've seen in the last decade. And even when they have come out with their own technologies and their own products, it has not precluded them from, you know, 4 or 5 years from now changing their tune or saying, yep, we have this, but, you know, we're going to add this other technology to our portfolio because it has done so well. So
I would agree with you 100%. I think you're right on the money. I think there's a lot of still open book around what will happen relative to the architecture. And kind of what I'm seeing on in the trenches is the definition and the ecosystem of what that stack's going to look like is changing. And a lot of forces are driving at this at the application level. Does it sit with developer frameworks? Does it move in closer to the server? It gets to sit with the arrays. So all these things are debatable and viable depending upon how you're looking at it. So, you know, Fusion.io talks about performance, and they have a real viable story there, and they have specific clients implementing that. Yet EMC is clearly positioning them as a one-off early adopter, you know, fringe example. So, and I think with big data, you're seeing this data layer becoming a really key abstraction layer as middleware. So, again, application-specific acceleration, network, and then ultimately a server. So it's interesting. I think, Naomi, great point there, and I would ratify that still as the ecosystem of the NoSQL and the database wars continue, that will continue to be a viable discussion.
Thank you, John. So the bottom line is Flash is hot, and EMC is in. A lot of stuff coming down the pipe, but they've made their first big stake here. I want to thank our contributors. First of all, David Floyer, who gave us the quick overview. Dave Vellante, I do have to thank you for being on your own show. Noemi, great story. Thank you.
Noemi,
thanks for coming in. And John on the phone. Abhishek, Barry, Tim, Alex, Dennis Martin, thank you. Steve Stark. And I would encourage folks to take a look at the work that Dennis has done. It's up, I think you can link to it from the Wikibon site.
Get Josh.
Josh Kirscher is on the phone. Thank you, Josh, for your contributions, questions, and opinions. Just to recap, we will have we'll have six research notes up pertaining to this call up in the next 24 hours. I'll summarize the call. We'll provide some implications on the IT department, implications for your organization, talk about technology integration, and we keep adding stuff, so hopefully we can get rid of some stuff. I'm not sure what. All members of the Wikibon community are welcome to hit the edit button and contribute opinions and improve the pieces. So we appreciate and encourage all participation there. We will have a podcast of this research meeting up on the Wikibon site within, 24 hours?
Yeah, within seconds.
Silicon Angle TV. I want you to also watch for announcements on an upcoming Peer Insight. We're just trying to close down on getting some specific IT professionals who've done the implementation, but I think we're going to have a discussion regarding a black box for the data center coming up at the end of the month, and then we have another Peer Insight in March. It's already on the calendar. So please watch the Wikibon page for upcoming Peer Insights. Thank you, and I think with that, we'll say goodbye.